May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I heard somebody recently mention these verses, and they just sort of fascinated me again. This is from Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking all around, he departed for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. He began to teach and to say to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations, but you have made it a robber's den. The chief priests and the scribes heard this. They began to seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for all the multitude were astonished at his teaching. Let me just say this to you. Anytime the enemy's trying to destroy you, it's because he's afraid of you. Hear it again. Anytime you're under assault from the enemy and he's trying to do what he does, kill, steal, and destroy, it's because he's afraid of you. And he's afraid of what you carry, being in Christ. It's really, if you understand that, it'll help you a lot when you're in warfare, spiritual warfare. Because the enemy would like for us to be frightened. And if he can get us to be frightened, then we can't really hear God. We don't walk in wisdom. We don't walk in faith. But he's the one who's frightened. Says they wanted to destroy Jesus because they were afraid of him. And whenever evening came, they would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, behold the fig tree which you have cursed as withered." And Jesus answered him, saying, and the language here is he said this repeatedly. He said it several times because he wanted him to get it. He said, "Have faith in God." Now, literally, the language here is have the faith of God. Kind of like in Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh," the King James says, and the King James gets it right, this one, "I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, if I'm in Christ and I'm in union with him, then I don't just live by faith in him, I live by his faith. That's my rest. That's entering into his rest. And Jesus says to them, now remember what Jesus is always doing with his disciples. He's always training them. He's always teaching them. There's lecture, then there's lab. Lecture, lab, lecture, lab, lecture, lab. He'll put things in them, then go out and demonstrate them. Because he's wanting them to learn to walk in faith, because there's going to come a time where he's going to pass the baton to them. He's going to come live in them so he can live his life through them, but they're going to have to walk in faith. And what Jesus offers to them, and doesn't just offer to them, he challenges them with this, have the faith of God, which is amazing. Then he says, and these are some verses that are misunderstood in some circles, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says that this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. And therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray, ask and believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you." This whole story is fascinating to me, and we don't have time to do all the details. But I was reminded when I heard somebody talking about this, just how interesting it is that Jesus cursed a tree that was not it wasn't the fig tree's fault that it didn't bear figs. It says that he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. I've always felt sorry for the fig tree. Because how can he expect a fig tree, and why would he get upset with a fig tree that couldn't bear figs because it didn't bear figs? He's the one who created the cycles of nature and all that. He knows. Yet he did. And then the thing is interesting also to me that he said, he talked to the fig tree. Like the fig tree can hear. He didn't go, I curse this fig tree in Jesus' name. He said, my name. He says, may no one ever eat from you again, from fruit from you again. He talked to the fig tree. Then he... So let me go ahead and do this qualifier. You know, there's been an era out there that says, has taught from these scriptures, saying, you can have whatever you say, which is not true. Jesus himself declared that he bore witness of what he saw and heard. He only said those things he heard the Father saying, only did those things he saw the Father doing. So Jesus, there is a place of faith that involves proclamation. That's part of the deal. But Jesus didn't do anything unless it was what God was saying, the Father was saying first. So we can't have what we say. We can have what he says. But that's part of faith. But what is he doing? That's another thing. We may look at that another day. But here's the thing that fascinates me with Jesus is that what is the deal about the fig tree? And this wasn't my first idea to think of this, but I think because the lifestyle that Jesus is calling his disciples to live is a supernatural one. And they're going to often be in situations where it's just not in season for them to be able to do certain things. I just don't feel like it today. I don't feel a lot of faith. I just don't. You ever been in a place like that? I just don't have much faith for this. This just seemed too difficult. This is way beyond. I'm out of my lane. And Jesus is saying through the example of the fig tree, I have the right to expect the impossible from you. And the reason I can do that is because I've called you to walk in the faith of God. See, the story's going to end up being Christ is going to be in them, they're going to be in Christ, and they get to live by his faith. And he has faith for mountains being moved or anything else. And it's got nothing to do with how you feel today. And it's got nothing to do with your natural strength or your adequacy. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we're adequate of ourselves to think anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. There are times in my life when I feel, in my feelings, in my emotions, a lot of faith. But there are also times in my life when I feel very vulnerable and my inadequacies seem to be very glaring to me. This situation just seems to be beyond me. Now, I'm not just talking about performing signs and wonders. I'm talking about going home and you walk into a situation that's just difficult. And one of the things I hear Christians say a lot over the years is, I just can't do that anymore. I can't take that anymore. It never was about what you could do, fig tree. It never was about whether you were adequate. The issue is he. Because he's the source of the miraculous. All the things that we're called to do in life, we're in union with the holiness of Christ. And that which may seem impossible to me and ridiculous to me, that God's requiring of me, is absolutely logical to God because he knows he's big enough for it. It's irrelevant whether I'm big enough for it or not. My inadequacy isn't an issue. Is he adequate for it? And you see, I believe that's why he did that with the fig tree. He was always trying to teach them, and he knew. And then you even go into the place where it says, and they wanted to kill him because they were afraid of him. All those times in our lives, we face things that just seem bigger than we are. The issue is they're not bigger than he is. And we can live by his faith for those things. He has faith in his ability to handle that. When I go home after the end of a long day of ministry, and if Olivia is putting demands on me, she's drawing what she has a right to do. And I'm like going, I just can't, I just want to get quiet. I want to talk. That's nonsense. That's an out of season thing. She's trying to pull on me something that I may, in my own weakness, can't handle. But I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. I'm in Christ. And Jesus has faith in his own ability to love my wife right where she is and just how she needs me in that situation. My own tendency towards selfishness and my fallenness is not an excuse. The Christian life's a miracle. And it's worked out in everyday issues. You with me? And those seasons when you're confronted with things that are bigger than you, they are. That's why you're in Christ. They're not bigger than him. And Jesus was saying to them, the life I'm calling you to live, I expect the miraculous, even when to bear fruit, even when it's out of season. Have the faith of God for it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.